Welcome to the Deeper Life Bible Study, coming to you from Identity Church in Deltona, Florida. Now let us hear the expounding of the Word of God, a now word for this moment. So grab your Bible, sit back as we delve into the Word of God and hear the Logos and Rhema Word.
8 reasons you should make friends with blunt people. See, blunt people will tell you about the issues of your life. That was a pretty good introduction, wasn't you? There's a piece of bluntness in every one of us. The truth is that many of us do know what is right and what is wrong. But many do prefer to mask how they feel or who they are because of societal perceptions, sentiments, and because of they're simply afraid. Listen, if you don't deal with your fears, and if you're not going to be open about what God's doing in your life, about the rights and wrongs, then you will go into a depression because God will start messing with you. Okay, and this is where you need some blunt people around you. What distinguishes this is in regards to blunt people, though, is this blunt people are expressive and are not pretentious about who they are. Okay, so the title of this message is why you need 8 reasons why you need blunt people around you. Okay? In other words, most blunt people have an identity. They know who they are. They are not consumed or subjected by what other people think of them. Rather, about a clear perception about what should be right and wrong. Having such a person as a friend means purity, honesty, and clarity. You are not afraid to look over your shoulder because they know that you would tell you what is behind you before you asked about it. Seriously, you get around certain people, you know you're okay because they didn't tell you you weren't. Seriously. This is a double-edged sword, though. But if you suffer rejection and you're a blunt person, your identity's wrong. You got a deficiency in your identity. Number one, they do not flatter you. They just tell you the way it is. They are the best people to give you an honest opinion about anything you ask them. They really don't sugarcoat a fact just to appease you because they're blunt. And they really are not worried about the consequences of telling you the truth. How many avoid blunt people but you know you need them? Golly, this is an interactive session tonight. How many know you need blunt people but you avoid them? There we go. Thank you very much. The most important thing to them or to their identity is being blunt and telling you a direct and honest truth. Don't worry, there's two sides to this sword, so don't think I'm getting slap happy here. Okay? Psalms 5:9. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their innermost self is destructive. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. Do you want someone to be blunt and tell you the truth, or do you want to be flattered? Proverbs 29:5, a man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net at his feet. 36:2 of Psalms, for he flatters himself in his own eyes that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The worst type of flattery is your own. If all you do is talk about flattery about yourself, you're probably hiding something. That went over well. Thank you. Way to go, Chuck. Okay. Here's another reason. Number two, they're not afraid. They're bold. They are courageous and fearless. And these noble qualities are qualities you should not only admire in others, but would want to have around you. If such a person is in your life, it will certainly instill some confidence and inner strength in you to face your fears. Listen, here's the thing. You know, we're using the word blunt, but what we really need to do is convert it to the word boldness. Okay, but I'm using blunt because you know how many times I've been accused of being so blunt that I'm rude? We'll get to that. That's point like five. John 7:13. Yet no one was speaking openly of him for fear of the Jews. And see, fear is will stop you from being blunt. Fear will stop you from being bold. Let's you take those two words. One will work with the other. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Now listen, this is an interesting scripture. How many believe that you're supposed to walk in government? You're supposed to walk in government of the kingdom. Okay. Deuteronomy 1:17. You shall not show partiality in judgment. This is Moses. You shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not fear man. For the judgment is God's. The case that is too hard for you, you shall bring to me, and I'll hear it. Listen, if you're going to have the fear of man, you disqualify yourself from being a judge. And there's a bluntness about being a judge. There's a boldness about being a judge. It comes with confidence in who what God calls you to do and the position to stand in as a judge. Most people that are blunt are black and white. It's right, it's wrong. Why? Because they're judges. And you get around them, and the first thing you do is hide your stuff and go, "Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Mercy, brother, it's under the blood." Okay, we can go there if we need to, you knucklehead. But listen, the reason someone has to judge you is because you won't judge yourself. Number three, they do not want to hurt a relationship with you. Get around truly blunt or bold people. They care about the relationship, but the first relationship they care about the most is theirs with God. Say, that was good, Chuck. There's nothing devious about them, although many may consider being blunt as being rude. This is not the case, though, as blunt people are not mischievous or purposely critical. They are actually looking out for your own interest, and if they find that they have crossed the line in a relationship, they are willingly to take responsibility, step up and accept their error. So when you find someone who's just you didn't know if they were blunt or rude, just do the test. Go back to Matthew 5. You know my scripture. If you have aught with your brother, leave your gift at the altar. So if, as a prophet, if I've been blunt with you, if I've been direct with you, and I've wounded you, and I know that I wounded you functioning in my blunt gift, I need to put my gift down and go, "Hey, brother, man, I thought I heard the word of the Lord. Maybe I didn't deliver it right. Will you forgive me?" That's the test between blunt and rude. Right? Is this helping you? As an objective, the difference between rude and blunt is that rude is bad manners, while blunt is having a thick edge or a point as an instrument, not sharp. He's not, a blunt person doesn't cut you. They buffet you. They're blunt with you. Have you ever asked yourself, after you had an uncomfortable conversation, was that person being rude or were they just being blunt with me? Was he just being rude? Or was he just really telling me the way it is with no sugarcoat? Question, did he feel comfortable enough to be really that honest with me? Or are you so thin-skinned, "Oh, he was just rude to me. Why?" Well, listen, sleeping around, you can call it rude. It's really, I need to be blunt. You're about to really screw up, dude. You know, "Oh, he was rude to me." I had someone say, "You know, you were very rude to me when you said that." I said, "Yeah, I was mad too." Why? Because that is obvious that you're just a knucklehead. We'll get to that at the very end. Ezekiel 13. Number four, they are blunt enough to tell you they are sorry. There's your blunt test. If someone knows who they are, they're extremely confident in what is right and wrong, they will be blunt. But they're also blunt enough to tell you that they're sorry. Not every friend is quick to offer apologies or acknowledge their mistakes. Blunt people know that they are susceptible to being considered wrong others because of their bluntness. We know that people take us wrong. You understand, I know that people take me wrong. And in the last few years, as I've matured in my identity, I've tried to change my presentation. I really have. But let me explain something to you. When long-suffering is over, bluntness will show up. Because if God says, go tell that person and be blunt with them, be black and white with them, because most people can't read your mind, you got to tell them, black and white, here's the issue. Evidently, you didn't perceive this as a problem. Let me explain it to you in words you can understand. You are in sin.
That was blunt.
No, that was a line in the sand. And they are willing to apologize if at any time they know that they have hurt your feelings. Here's the reason why. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. It is not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoiced with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. How would you take those passages of Scripture and explain how you can walk in love and be blunt? Because the first thing someone tells you when you're blunt, you don't love me. Really? So I can't even tell you the truth in love without you pulling your blunt card, or you offended me card, or I want my way card, or don't judge me card, or I can't believe you would say that to me. I've been in leadership for 25 years. Well, yeah, but you've been in sin 20 of it. Love never ends. Really? I want to be bold. Who wants to be bold? Who's afraid of being considered blunt? Oh. So no one has a fear of someone calling you to be that you're blunt?
I haven't mastered blunt yet.
Okay, but so let me ask you a question. If you haven't mastered blunt yet, have you mastered bold?
No, clearly. No.
That's why
we
want to be bold.
Am I preaching to y'all? Five. They know what right and wrong means. Blunt people know what right and wrong means. Did you hear the first thing? Most of us have a blunt in us. We don't let it out. I remember I said something to my wife one time about she had a girlfriend, and the girlfriend was being needed some correction, and someone needed to be blunt with her. Susie, she's your friend. Just tell her. Girls don't do that with each other. I said, what kind of friend are you? Yeah, they don't do parking lot. Susie's ideal parking lot is making out. Okay, we'll leave it there. They know what's right and what wrong means. Blunt people know what is right and what is wrong. Blunt people have high moral standards. They know what should be done and what should not be done. Here's the problem. Is you got blunt in you, and instead of dealing with it and being blunt, you just suppress it. Then you murmur. Then you complain. Then you bellyache. Then you gossip. then you get critical spirit and you wonder why God walked away from you when he really was asking you to be blunt. They're not pretentious about it, but instead they simply want to do what is right and hold no guilt over it. So if I tell you the truth and you reject it, should I feel guilty that you rejected it? Why do I then? Because I want you to like me. The problem is there was a season I wanted you to like me more than I wanted you to be right with God. Because I wasn't blunt enough to tell you the truth and be willing to risk the friendship if necessary. They wouldn't allow such sentiments of being acceptable to every cloud their judgment, to everyone cloud their judgment or the decisions they make. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man, person, has great power as it is working. Listen, there's something about the righteous prayer. The problem is we don't pray from the position of righteousness. We pray so many times from the prayer of fear. If you understand that righteousness is as equal to as a gift equal to salvation, you couldn't earn it anyway. You have to receive it, and you walk as if you are as righteous as Jesus Christ. Say that. Say, I am as righteous as Jesus Christ is. Does that make your brain go, I can't say that? Did he give you the gift of his righteousness? Did he tell you to walk in it? Wear his robe of righteousness and act like it's yours. Then why would you not feel that you are as righteous as he is? Because you haven't had the revelation that it was as equal as a gift of your salvation. Now, are you saved? Yes, if I get run over by a Mack truck or this hurricane just kills me, I'm going to be with Jesus. Okay, you got the salvation thing. Now, what happened to the righteous thing? I'm going to tell you the scripture that got both of my children out of the dark places of their lives that almost ruined their lives. I wore out the devil with Psalms 25. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. I took that scripture right there and I wore the devil out and told my children, you cannot continue to have stupid behavior that eliminates your ability to be successful in this world. Why? Because you are the son of a righteous man. I took the youngest one for a walk. One of them, not a walk, but the walk. There's a difference between a walk and the walk. We went for the walk. And I just looked at him. I said, do you got your driver's license on you? He goes, yeah. I said, let me see it. I looked at him. I go, Brian Charles Coker, do you know you're the son of a righteous man? I think so. I said, well, you're about to figure out that you are. Why? Because I'm about to pray your little world out from underneath you. That little girl you're playing with, you either got to marry her, so you got a covenant, so I can get that demon out of her, or you're going to bury her. What? I'm a righteous man. You can't do this any longer. He had been playing house, and it was to the point that he was about to plant some seed in the belly of a whore. I saw it, and I put a stand against it. He told his older brother, the theologian, this is what daddy did. Told his mama, this is what daddy said. And my oldest one's like, dad, you can't do that. Really? It worked for you, didn't it? Watch your little baby brother. I made a stand. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Within just a few weeks, they got in a fight and had a knife fight. And he told her, I got to get rid of you because my dad's going to have you killed. She goes, is he in the mafia? No, he's a preacher. See, but here's the thing, is here's how I came to that walk. God said to me, how long are you going to tolerate your son? I said, wait a minute. I've been waiting on you to give me the green light. I have no problem. See, you have no problem telling your children, do you? Except pastors and, you know, the sheep that you have problem with because you got to be so nice. It was easy to tell my kid what I thought. But see, I had always had to have some restraint. So God said, how long are you going to tolerate this? So you tell me when. I'll handle it. He showed up the next day. Let's go for a walk, son. Let's go for a walk. I had to be blunt. Why? Because in my bluntness, he called my bluff. In my bluntness, God backed me up. I'll never forget, we were actually living in an apartment at the time. And he comes around, and Susie kind of protects the kids from me sometimes in those days. And my kid comes around, and he literally crawled my lap. He said, "Dad, remember what you said? Marry her or bury her?" I said, "Yeah." "Does heaven actually just do what you tell it to do?" I said, "Yeah, pretty much." "Why, what happened?" He's like, "Oh, my God." You want to be liked or you want to be blunt? Do you understand what was on the line there? My seed. The generations that I'm responsible for. If you're not willing to be blunt with that, then you won't be blunt for the other things of the kingdom. If you won't be blunt with your own, what makes you think God's going to trust you with others? Number six, they're fun to be with. Oh, what happened?
We're watching movies.
Beep, beep. Beep, 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 boop. There we go. It lost signal. They're fun to be with. Now, that's number six. They're fun to be with. All this preaching I just said, they're fun to be with. How do you put that in the middle of that? They're fun to be with. Blunt people like to make you laugh. And they're interesting and exciting. Somehow being blunt gives them a sense of humor and a reason to make others laugh about their errors and their mistakes. They can define their world and yours with all bluntness. And let you see that the way things are should not be taken too seriously after all. Blunt people are funny people. I'm going to show you why here in just a minute. Because of this one right here. Because of the kingdom. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Listen. If you are just blunt, then you're rude. If you have no joy, your bluntness has become rude. But if you are truly walking in the kingdom and you're blunt, you will have a joy about you. You'll have a personality about you that will even attract people so you can be blunt to them. Do I? Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God. Listen to me. Listen to the next verse. Whoever serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by man. Listen, these are some tests. You got people in your life who you thought were rude that were actually blunt. And if you'll go back and re-examine and realize these are godly people walking in the kingdom, you'll find some humor there and you'll realize you misjudged them. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. See, how can you... It's almost like, wait a minute, you can't be blunt and have peace. I'm going to tell you, if you're not blunt, you'll have no peace. It'll be a false peace. And peace at all cost is not true peace. Come on. Because what you tolerate will dominate. Number seven, they can forgive. Just as much as you can apologize for their misdeeds, they can also forgive you. Sandra, you doing good over there? Yeah, she done found the joy. Listen, do you understand 2/3 of the kingdom is peace and joy? Dude, I figured out, well, you know, Susie and I just went to Harrisburg and was in some of the biggest conferences here and some of the biggest names, some of the who's who, and listened to their messages. And let me tell you something, we're not getting second-rate stuff here. It amazes me how much we've been preaching and what we've been, we've been talking about favor, right? Dude, Patricia King gets up and just preaches about favor at the next level above favor. I'm like, whoa, okay, what's that? And it's a replenishing anointing. Once you have favor, now you go to the next level of having what you've given replenished. I'm like, come on, baby. Made my wife write checks that I had to cash. Blunt individuals don't hold grudges for too long and are pretty honest about how they feel. And if they do not feel right about how a relationship is going, they'll let you know. Do you know how many times people go, hey, are we okay? I said, listen, you haven't figured me out yet. You would know if we're not. I know they let them ride around with them. And Maxine did say hi today to you. She said, he didn't talk much. I said, because I was talking. However, they do not have so many reasons to hold resentments or grudges. Listen, blunt people don't harbor stuff. We deal with it. And listen, if you're willing to deal with somebody else's stuff, the first person you deal with is yours. Pastor Larry Meeks, for years, we were going down to a meeting in West Palm Beach, and we stopped and had lunch with my dad. And we're sitting there eating, and Brother Meeks says, Brother Coker, what was it like raising a boy like that? My dad goes, like what? He goes, he confronts everything I do. He challenges everything I do and say. My dad made the most interesting comment. He says, Brother Meeks, I didn't raise a boy like that. The boy I raised most of his life was the life of the party, and anything goes as long as you liked him. But one night, Jesus walked in and confronted him about his lifestyle and his sin, and he's been confronting people ever since. And Larry goes, oh, that's nice. But you understand, blunt people have probably had an encounter with God where he was honest with them. And the reason that we're blunt is that blunt encounter with him brought life, brought purpose, showed us the black and white, right and wrong, the life-giving discipline of God. Mark 11:20. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away at its root. Now this is when Jesus was getting, you need to go look at Mark 11. This is the week before the cross. Jesus gets on a colt that had never been ridden, and it didn't buck him off. Then he walks by a fig tree. It says it wasn't the season for figs, but then he cursed it. Do you understand? Jesus is the only one I know that can curse you when you're not fruitful, even when you're not, you're not supposed to be, but he can still curse you. Why? Because he wants the supernatural out of you. So a supernatural God can go, I'm cursing you. Why? Because you're just natural. And I expect supernatural out of you. That'll make you go, so he curses a fig tree. The next morning they walk by and it's sucked up by the roots. It's dying from the roots up. So in other words, it had death within it over 24 hours. So this is where he says, as we passed by this morning, saw the fig tree withered away at its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed is withered. And Jesus said to him, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. He's talking about mountain moving power. God, Jesus is saying, I'm a supernatural God. I could tell this fig tree I wanted figs. It should have produced. And I, and only I, can put a demand on it to be out of its season. I demand supernatural. And so then he says, you have power to cast a mountain into the sea. If you what? Don't doubt in your heart. Believe what you have, that you have received it. And it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. Uh-oh. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who also is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Listen, here's the problem. Blunt people have had an encounter with God that they believe God will back them up. But they also know the principles that God won't back up someone who has unforgiveness. God won't back up someone who's bitter. God won't back up someone who has grudges. God won't back up someone who's got a critical spirit. So you go through the processes pretty quick. If you're going to be blunt, there's a separate standard for you. Otherwise, you're just a horse's patoot with no power. So if you want to be blunt and have power, you better make sure that you have your forgiveness is dealt with. Number eight, they respect your views. Because they are blunt doesn't mean they would impose their views or way of life on you. They do know the gray areas, and after they have given you a piece of their mind, they will likely step back for you to make your own decisions. They are only there to tell you the way it is, straight and simple. And at least you'll know where they stand. Here's the scripture. Ezekiel 3:18. If I warn the wicked, saying, you're under a penalty of death, but you fail to deliver the warning, they will die in their sin. And I will hold you responsible for their death. If you warn them and they refuse to repent and keep on sinning, they'll die in their sins. But you will have saved your own because you obeyed me. There's a requirement to be blunt. I was hoping Big Anthony was going to be here tonight. He has a tattoo on his right arm, Ezekiel 3:18. I discipled Anthony early on. I helped him in his walk. And God gave him that scripture and a promise of a high calling. A year or so ago, when he was going through some struggles, God said, go be blunt with him and remind him. He now has a tattoo on his arm, and he's behaving quite well. But do you love these people that God tells you to go be blunt to enough to know that your bluntness could help them in their walk? Your bluntness may save a marriage. Your bluntness may break an addiction. Your bluntness may pull a root of bitterness out of their heart and let them walk out what has been defiling them so God can promote them. Are you willing to be blunt? Hey, Kev, am I willing to be blunt? Do I love you enough to be blunt? I love you too, bro. Are you willing to be blunt? Here's the bottom line. Too many people want to have a critical spirit, and they want to give their opinion. Here's what the Lord said to me years and years ago. I will not let you judge someone or be blunt with someone until you're willing to walk them through their issue to a place of healing. Did you hear me? I won't let you expose something in their life. I won't let you be blunt to them that exposes a weakness or an area they need to repent in if you're unwilling to walk with them through their healing process. Do you know what that does? That makes you shut your mouth. It makes you become much less blunt or much less opinionated, because if I come to you and I say, Gary, I really don't want to fish with you. I don't want to be your friend. I'll stop. I won't even do it. Why? Because I'm not willing to walk with you. Because then it's just rude, and it's obnoxious, and it's critical, and it's not life-giving. But if I'm willing to be blunt and shake him off of a foundation that is unholy to get him on a holy foundation, and I'm willing to walk through him with him through some things, then the bluntness is an anointing from God to help individuals to get in the right place. It's kind of like a prophet when opinion is dangerous. Who cares what your opinion is? And if you're just blunt to be blunt, you are rude. And you have a rude persona about you. You have an arrogance about you because you really don't want to deal with the real root issues and get dirty if necessary for somebody to get healed. You're just being blunt and rude because you think your opinion is right. That's not what we're talking about here. The two prophets come up to each other. One says to the other one, "How you doing?" He goes, "I don't know. How am I doing? You tell me. You can see." And one of my brothers in Vero Beach got around some people, invited some big shot apostle prophet. He calls me all mad. "How come I never get a word? I get around these guys and they don't see who I am." And I said, "Well, because you're arrogant." "What?" "Well, you ask, you're arrogant." He goes, "Okay. How come you always get words?" I said, "Because I humble myself before God." I said, "God, I'm going to be around somebody who has a prophetic gift." And here's the bottom line, I said to my friend. I outrank most of them. But if you're going to carry your ranking, it will be a shield and they can't see you and therefore they can't prophesy you. I said, if you'll humbly tell God, "God, you can show them anything so I can improve, even my dirt, and give them the boldness to tell me." I said, "You'll get prophesied over so much, you'll wish you hadn't. But how bad do you want to improve?" A couple days later, he calls me and goes, "Well, that stinking worked." He got his mail run read. At the same time, part of the word honored him in that local house that he needed it to be able to step into some rightful places with him. But listen, what part of bold do you want? You only want to be bold, or you want God to get bold with you? How many have ever been accused of being rude when you felt like you were just being bold? How has this helped tonight? But listen, we're supposed to be bold in truth. We're supposed to be bold in fact, but we're supposed to be laced in so much love that they can't accuse us of rudeness. And listen, it was your boldness because when you got buffeted or bumped, you backed away and weren't willing to finish the process of walking the whole situation out? "Well, I gave him the word and he rejected it. That's some of..." "Wow, Ezekiel says he can die and I delivered the word." "Really? You horses patoot." Listen. When you know who you are, people accuse you of arrogance. They'll accuse you of overconfidence. They'll accuse you that you're not walking in love. And there is a balance to all of that. But are you bold enough to be blunt when necessary?
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.